The most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Hour number two of Sports Talk begins. I'm John Wilkerson. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams, and Tennessee baseball starts tomorrow. Western Illinois in town. It's the first ever meetings between the two schools. 4:30 will be the first pitch, and it'll be Eric Kane who will have the start of the broadcast on the stream, which will be via utsports.com and the UT Game Day app. And then Vince Ferrara, you'll be finishing it off. You'll be coming out of the bullpen.
Yep, baton will be handed off, or baseball will be slapped into palm of my hand, and I'll take over on the hill and finish things off while you run the show on Sports Talk.
So looking forward to that. Why don't we hear from Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello as we talk about year three for him at Tennessee.
The season starts this week. What's going through your mind?
Just dotting the I's, crossing the T's is the easy way to say it, but it's pretty complex. There's a lot of little things that go into making sure guys got the right shoes and uniform stuff and hats aren't falling off and things like that. And then two, you want to make sure there's nothing that you haven't covered or covered well enough that you could get exposed on opening day. And I think at the end of the day, we all want no regrets in all facets of our lives. So it's kind of making sure you get that on the front end. But at the same time, it is refreshing to know that it is early in the season, and we've encouraged our guys to make mistakes. So we got something to work on in practice and also have a way to make progress towards SEC play, which, will not be for 4.5 weeks.
As the team put together the run it did to end last season, there was so much chatter about Tennessee, and some of it was that, well, watch out for you. You're going to be somewhere else next year, and if not you, then Frank Anderson definitely is not going to be back in Knoxville. What does it mean to you to have this same staff again for another year unchanged?
It's entirely gratifying in a way that you can't really describe it, but the main thing is these are the guys that I want to be around every day, and much to the frustration of everyone that knows me, including the administration, it took a long time to put this group together. And starting with Chad, who came into the office I think day two or day three and said, I really want to work here, I'm a Vol fan, and said, hold your horses, I don't even know where I'm sleeping tonight. It was a lot going on at once, but I feel the people that you add around you is incredibly important, and it says a lot about you no matter what you're doing. So recruiting is important to me, and it's important to have a roster that reflects what you're looking for and matches your style, but more importantly, the guys that don't come and go every year with graduation or the draft or anything else are the coaches. And I think we're all in it for the long haul and want to see this thing through. Everyone's got a lot invested personally now that some time has passed, and undoubtedly has a lot invested on the field.
Is there anything that stands out to anything that you've changed from one year to the next? Have you changed in terms of approach and how you want pitchers or hitters or defenders to train? Are there any adjustments in evolution as to how you've worked the program one year to the next as you get ready for this third year?
I think there's been things we've tried to at first educate ourselves on this place and the conference and everything else, and then tweak some things along the way. I don't think you drastically want to change anything. You just want to continue to look to improve. And something I think we've been able to do is add in a little bit more of the mindset, call it mental game if you want, with our guys, because we have gotten our guys to adopt the philosophy of this is what we're trying to do on bunt plays or simple fundamentals. And, you go across the board and you're checking as many boxes as possible. And I don't even think we've checked all of them, including the facility and recruiting. But we're getting there, and then once you do that, you want to make each one of them as good as possible. But, even along the way, you can't ignore any areas that you can improve upon. So really, it's just been subtle adjustments, and again, I think we've been able to kind of touch more on that mental piece. And me personally, I've kind of said too, I've been able to step back and kind of fulfill my role and not worry about others because of that assistant coaching staff being so strong, like you mentioned, and now not only are they talented, but they've got some experience too.
with the continuity that's been in place since you've been in Knoxville, what does it mean to the roster that they still get to work with Q and that they're working defense with Ross Kivett and they're working on their hitting with Josh Elander and, of course, continuing to develop his pitchers with Frank Anderson? What does that kind of continuity mean to those that are climbing the ladder as Tennessee players?
There's a huge amount of synergy in those kids' lives and also how they go about their daily work. And then it's kind of got a multiplication process, you know, almost like a pyramid scheme. You got the freshmen learning from the sophomores and the juniors because they know everything there is that comes with being a catcher with Coach Elander or any other position. So that downstream effect, or however you want to term it, carries a lot of weight in that locker room. And it takes pressure off the coaches because, you know, every coach in the country right now is saying, hey, when the season starts, it's your team, or, you know, game day's your day, practice day's the coach's day, any of that cliche stuff. But it really is true that the best teams are the ones that are led by players and they handle a lot of things on their own or take initiative, you know, with self-direction and, you know, coming from their peers. And this group is the first group that we've been here that really displays all that.
Tennessee finished third in the East last year, picked fourth in the East this year, which is the highest projection for Tennessee since you've been the coach. What does that mean in terms of just a benchmark? How much of that do you either focus on or share or talk about with your players?
Yeah, it's a good question. Unfortunately, it's a bad answer. I don't think it means anything. Preseason stuff is, especially in our sport, if you can shoot, you can shoot. And no disrespect to basketball, because kids make a lot of improvements and adjustments, and they grow older. You saw our guys get much stronger in the weight room that were upperclassmen last year. The kids that are here now will do that. I'm just using that as an analogy because there's more factors with hitting a baseball and throwing a baseball that many people can't control. And, you know, a guy that no one's ever heard of is going to hit over 300 this year in this league. And a guy who was throwing mid-80s last year is going to be throwing low to mid-90s and be one of the best pitchers in the conference. I don't know who those guys are, but those are kind of two of the known things that are going to happen amongst a lot of unknowns. So in our sport in particular, I think it's good conversation piece. There are some things that are there. Maybe there's a little more respect for our program now, so that's a notch in our belt. But at the end of the day, after week one, it's all going to shake out. And then at the end of the year, it's going to be a totally new story.
You've already talked about that you've got, there are expectations that it's going to be fluid, whether it be the rotation, whether it be the lineup, whether it be who comes when out of the bullpen. Obviously, at the start of the season, you're looking for answers and you may not ask the right questions, but what does that do when you start the season in terms of matching your expectations for individuals to perform in the roles that they now find themselves or return in?
Again, I think it provides incentive for everyone to be on their toes. I mean, no one has anything locked up at this point. There's a couple guys I'd say are mainstays in the lineup, and we know what we did with the catching last year, but literally every single person on the roster is on their toes, and you know, they all want to solidify themselves at their favorite position, at their favorite spot in the order, and they want to be out there every day. On the other hand, it's pretty exciting to know to the park, come to the park and know that you might be in the lineup. And if you're not, you might come off the bench. And if you're not, if you're kind of into it in pregame and all those things, you'll be more prepared the next day when you got a pretty good chance to play if you're not playing today, if you're one of those guys. So I think there's a cool factor to it. And also for the coaching staff and for us, it really kind of lends itself to let's peak, you know, first weekend of the SEC play. Let's make that our first kind of peak along the climb of what will be a bigger mountain. But I think it gives us some freedom to experiment, freedom to fail, and really kind of makes the whole thing fun, if you ask me, that we have these options as opposed to being kind of locked into one thing.
That does have to be such a feeling that wasn't here before, and that is how much competition there's been and continues to be in this build-up to this week's season opener. What's it like to be in this vantage point compared to, say, where it was when you started, when you were looking for nine solid ones?
It's different. I think on the whole, the staff and the program has a little more room for error because we kind of now know who we are, what we want to become. There's fewer unknowns. We know the roster better. So there's that sense of comfortability. And then the other thing is we don't have to rely on any one or two guys, or, you know, if it's not working out at a certain position, there's guys we can slide over and, you know, work with them all year long and get them better. So, and I think the key positions on the field, we've got several options. So there's a lot of comfortability that comes with, you know, I guess some insecurity about saying this guy's that or this. So it's a conundrum a little bit when you talk about it in the office, but options are a good thing to have in many facets, and this is one of them.
So some comments from Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello, part two of our conversation a little bit later in the program, but it's always nice to have a conundrum when it comes to a situation such as that, as you've got options and lots of options.
Yeah, and he's just so impressive every time he talks. He'll sort of be modest, but he knows exactly what's going on with everything with the program. He understands his kids. He connects with his kids. And love what he talked about with his staff and saying that, you know, these are the guys I want to surround myself with. Very intelligent to have a guy like Frank Anderson as his pitching coach. He's not afraid to lean on those guys. He doesn't have an ego to where he won't go to them for their input. He appreciates and respects everybody's, but he has his own opinions and convictions on things throughout the game as well. He'll self-reflect, just such an impressive coach, and always enjoy hearing from him.
Yeah, and I certainly expect Josh Elander to keep his streak going, and that is the only member of the staff that has not been ejected. Coaching staff.
Let's hope.
Yes. So anyhow, you can add Quentin Eberhardt into that mix. I don't think he's been run from a game. But anyhow, I was just talking about the on-field coaches. That's still something, because, boy, there's an earful that's coming from that dugout.
Yes. And I think those guys have the fire in them. They just have avoided getting tossed.
Absolutely. I don't think there's any question in that regard. Do want to say that there is news about the opener tomorrow. Originally scheduled for a 4:30 first pitch, it is going to be rather chilly in the afternoon. So rather than play starting at 4:30 and move into darkness, they're going to move up the start time to 2:00. So the first pitch for the Tennessee baseball season opener for 2020 has been moved up to a 2 p.m. first pitch.
Yeah, because tomorrow's low. I'm getting down in the low 20s. That's in the overnight, obviously, but it still will be chilly at night, so maybe at least it'll make it a little more bearable for people to still go out and enjoy, and obviously for the players as well.
That's Vince Ferrar. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break and be back with more as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
You know how to pass the time when you're on the job.
With 45 minutes of sports every hour.
99.1
The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We're getting closer and closer. In fact, it's tomorrow. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day. Also know this, that here's what we're doing. We're going to double dip today, but in a good way. Not where we take the same chip and put it back in the dip. We're just double dipping today in terms of giveaways, which thankfully we've had all week long thanks to our friends at Knoxville Chocolate Company, because what we'll be doing is giving away not one, but two boxes of chocolate strawberries today. Not the next caller gets two, it's one to each winner that we'll have. So just want to go ahead and get things completely, totally transparent. But since we do have, I guess, President's Day that's coming up on Monday, the offices will close a little bit early tomorrow. So what we're doing is giving away two prizes today, which gives you as much time as possible to get here before the office closes tomorrow to take advantage of, again, your wonderful Valentine's Day success. So, courtesy of Knoxville Chocolate Company, caller number 5-656-9467. 656 wins. Caller number 5, you will win this box of chocolate strawberries from Knoxville Chocolate Company. The Knoxville Chocolate Company produces over 100 delicious chocolates and confections made from scratch daily downtown. They're located 29 Market Square, suite number 100. You can view their selection at knoxchox.com. Chox.com. Caller number 5-656-9467. You will be the winner of a box of chocolate strawberries from Knoxville Chocolate Company, and you'll have another chance to win a little bit later. What we want to do is hear from a young man who's getting ready for his second year of Tennessee baseball. So it was a little while ago that an opportunity to ask questions of one Camden Sewell came about. So here's what the young man had to say.
Camden, how much work did you do in the weight room in the offseason? And did you have to go through some back discomfort there at some point?
Yeah, I actually did. I dealt a lot of the fall with some back problems that have been kind of hindering me lately, but starting to feel a lot better and everything's getting better. But tried to hit the weight room hard and go from there.
Was it from the weight room, the back problems, or did you figure it out what was causing it?
Yeah, I had a few disc problems, but everything's going well now. So,
where's your main focus this offseason? I know you had to deal with the back issues, but when you were able to get in and get some work, what were you focusing on?
I was focusing a lot on developing my other pitches and cutting down my walks. Spent a lot of time developing my changeup and curveball. Last year was mainly fastball slider, and I feel a lot more comfortable this year with all my pitches in general.
What adjustments did you make with those? Did it change your grip or arm slot? Anything significant that changed kind of helped you with those pitches?
Actually, I did work on over Christmas break. I actually changed my arm slot a little bit because in the fall, when I hurt my back, I kind of dropped down. I was throwing almost sidearm, and it's not where I wanted to be. So I worked really hard on getting my arm back on top and staying behind the ball.
How much did the back discomfort set you back? I mean, how much of a challenge was it to put that behind you?
It was kind of aggravating in the fall just because I wanted to be out here and not in there doing rehab stuff. But it's one of those things where, like, I got to just maintain it, and because it's – lately, it's just been there, but like, if it's not too bad or I can't do anything, then I'm gonna do what I can.
What excites you about this team as you get here this season?
I'd say the potential. I mean, I think we got a good team, and the chemistry is really well, and I'm sure we're all just looking forward to getting out there and going to work.
You mentioned the potential when all these preseason top 25s come out and you see 8-9 teams ahead of y'all. I guess, how does that make y'all feel?
It's just motivation and hunger. I mean, we don't look too much into that stuff, that we're going to let our play do the talking and not really worry about that and see what happens in the end.
A lot of sophomores on this team that played a lot last year. Which guys you've seen think can make a big jump in their second season?
We're really deep, so it's hard to pick out a few guys, but one that sticks off on the top of my head is Trey Lipscomb. He's been smashing baseballs over this fall, so we're really excited to see what he's going to put into out there on the field for us this year.
What goes through your mind when you're standing on the court last night and Tony tells the whole crowd you guys are going to make some more noise than maybe people expect?
You just get chills. You just get chills and you get really excited, and it's just one of those things where you're in the moment and you just 16 days needs to hurry up.
It seems like this rotation has a lot more depth than it did a year ago. I guess how beneficial do you think that'll be for y'all entering this season?
I mean, I don't think there's any problem with having depth, and the more you have, the better it is. I mean, we have tons of guys in a bullpen, regardless of who it is. We can throw multiple guys out there in any situation and feel really comfortable with who we got out there on the mound.
Do you have an idea of what your role is going to be as far as day of weekend or what you want to be or kind of what's going on there?
I do not, but I just look at it as whatever my role is, fill that to the best I can and do whatever I can to help the team win.
With that many guys in that rotation, is it the competition level to try and get one of those weekend spots? How much do you think that's made y'all kind of pushed each other?
It's made us tremendously close because everyone's fighting for all the same spots, and like, you love competing against each other, but you also love seeing people get better and grow, and watching everyone grow is awesome to see.
So the competition's been healthy, do you feel like, amongst these pitchers?
Yeah, I think it's been real healthy because you can't take a day off around here. You got to work because the day you take off might be the day someone passes you up.
Well, you've dealt with that back injury this offseason. Have you seen your confidence grow from last season into this one?
For sure. Feeling really confident. Back is doing really well right now, so that only makes my confidence even more because I struggle a little bit when my back starts bothering me of letting these negative thoughts get in my head, but I've been working on that, and I think we're in good shape.
Those of us who haven't seen the JUCO guys and maybe the Drew Gilberts, what's their style of pitching? What do they bring to the table?
The JUCO guys feel and bring power arms, which is huge. And JUCO is different than coming from high school because, I mean, it's not the same as SEC, but it's higher competition than high school is. So the JUCO guys, I think, would be huge for us.
big second weekend tournament down in Texas. How exciting is it to kind of go down early in the season and see how y'all match up against some of the best teams in the country?
I think it's real exciting. It'll show us where we're at early in the year, and we'll learn a lot of things from it, regardless wins or losses.
Big picture question for you. When you first were being recruited by Tennessee and Tony Vitello had that, you know, recruiting pitch for you, what was that, and are you already starting to see, you know, that become a reality?
Yeah, I mean, what he says usually most of the time comes true, and that's what he brought to this campus is something special, and I think everyone's starting to see that, and we fight for him and he fights for us, and it's awesome to play for Coach B.
A lot of hype surrounding Garrett right now. I guess how have you kind of seen him handle it?
He's worked really, really hard this offseason, and it's showing. Like, just his body, physique, everything. You saw his fastball was in the fall. But he's put in a lot of work, and it's awesome to see Garrett doing what he's doing right now.
So, comments from Camden Sewell.
Yeah, a lot of really good stuff. Good to hear that he is improving with that back and his confidence is there and improved and keeping those negative thoughts out of his mind. I know this coaching staff loves him and sees the upside in him. Very versatile arm and did so much as a freshman last year. So impressive with his poise and his demeanor for such a young guy to be able to handle some tough situations. He's got a lot of ability. If he stays healthy, I think you're going to see him play a huge role in this team, regardless of where, but there's a good chance he could be in the rotation because he's that good.
Yeah, as you talked about, this was somebody who gave you big stretches out of the bullpen at the same time, made some very, very key starts for Tennessee, so very anxious to see what his role will be. But he showed you exactly why the staff likes him so much last year, and he's one of those that you can't wait to see exactly what is going to be even better this year.
Yeah, love the competition there as well. Keeps everybody sharp.
We'll say congratulations to Kent, who was the winner of our box of chocolate strawberries from Knoxville Chocolate Company. We've got another chance to win coming up. Not now, but coming up. We'll get a break. When we return, it's time for Slap Shots with Mike Murray, president and GM of the Ice Bears. He joins us next as you listen to 99.1, The Sports Animal. Sports Talk continues. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson, and it's always a pleasure as we look to the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline, which might as well just say it's the VIP line, as we're joined by the president and GM of the Ice Bears, Mike Murray, for Slap Shots. Big week. In fact, it's been exactly, I'm sure, what you were looking for going into such a key weekend last weekend, Mike, but just talk about the run that the Ice Bears find themselves on.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, thanks for having me on. In a hockey season, in any long season, there's obviously ups and downs, and you just got to kind of figure your way through it. It was a little stressful a couple of weeks ago, you know, losing four in a row. We weren't comfortable with that. We weren't comfortable with the way we were playing. We weren't comfortable, especially the way we were getting pushed around in our own building, which I absolutely despise. But, Jeff, like I always say, he's a great recruiter. He made two moves, got some guys out of here that we felt would be better served somewhere else, and brought in two guys on the blue line that aren't afraid to answer the bell if that's what's needed, and it seemed like that is what was needed just to get in our lineup, just to have that element if it was needed. And we came out in the against the Peoria series last weekend. We didn't have an empty seat in the building. Had two fights within the first 7 minutes and just let Peoria know that they were in Knoxville, and came away with a 5-2 win that night. So it was a great, we may see them again in the playoffs. The moves Jeff made there, it was something that, kind of interjected life into the dressing room, which was definitely needed.
Yeah, the weekend started with a road trip and a big win for the Ice Bears, and then you came home, as you mentioned, with back-to-back games against the Rivermen, who were first place going into last weekend in the SPHL. What do you think it meant to show this group that they could go toe-to-toe with the top team that's now tied for first, that is the Rivermen, in the SPHL with the Ice Bears in third?
Well, it was good. Obviously, you know, it's never good to get complacent, and whether it's hockey, baseball, football, basketball, or just in any job in particular. But like Jeff said, it's not okay just to be okay. And you know, you got to look at across the dressing room, you know, and play for each other. And I think guys just got, you know, took the pedal, you know, just backed off the pedal a little bit, and it, you know, it cost us. And so obviously, you know, that teammate that you had all season long, all of a sudden isn't sitting there, and it kind of woke some guys up, and they played a lot harder, a lot better. And you know, although we lost in overtime on Sunday afternoon, it was still a great game. The guys played very well. Goaltending played great. It was, you know, it was nice for them just to see, like, yeah, Peoria has been number one pretty much the whole season. But, you know, if we play the way that we know we're capable of and play tough, I think there's not going to be anybody that's going to be able to hang with us.
Mike, what were your wiener dog and baby totals?
This is great. We had actually a first for our wiener dog races. We had, I think we had 90 or 91 wiener dogs. And wow. Of course we had three heats, you know, like I said, not an empty seat in the building. And, you know, we said go and none of them went. It was the craziest thing. I wanted to go find the tennis ball as fast as I could. But, obviously the second and third heats were great. And obviously the championship heat was even better. And they all figured it out in the end. But, again, just, you know, thanks to Knoxville for coming out and supporting what we do. And like I said, not an empty seat in the building. And it's always great when you have a great promotion like that and fill the building and you get a great win as well. And I always say a couple of fights don't ever hurt. But, you know, and then following up the next day at 3 o'clock, you know, we played them again. And we had 24 babies in the baby race. And, again, there were some quick ones. We didn't have any cheaters this year that tried to walk. So it was great. Just again, to see the families come out and just see a great hockey game and a great promotion. It was a great weekend.
Hey, we'll get back to your upcoming promotions in a minute, but we've been dying to ask you this. You may have heard Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred is considering some moves and changes to the Major League Baseball playoffs, where the teams will get to select their opponents in the playoffs. What runs through your mind when you hear that?
I mean, you know, whenever I see the 3-on-3 in the NHL and know that started here in our league, it's pretty neat to be a part of. And when I did see that, I got a good chuckle out of it. Just, you know, the fact that they found, you know, they came through us or saw that we did that a couple of years ago and just that they're considering it at that level. It was pretty neat. I got a good chuckle out of it.
Have you had any correspondence with any other team presidents or GMs around the SPHL in terms of saying, hey, they're stealing our stuff?
Yeah, no, I talked to the commissioner about it because we're obviously, you know, when we decide to do stuff like this in our summer meetings away from here, it's like, you know, how is this going to be received? And just like I said, with the 3-on-3, people thought we were crazy. But it's probably one of the most exciting, you know, overtime schemes. And, you know, if it seldom does go to shootouts, you very, very rarely see them. But it's end-to-end action on a 3-on-3, and you just can't lose your guy. You can't get beat. And if you do, it could be in the back of your net. But, like I said, got a good couple chuckles about that just to see, you know, we're the Southern Professional Hockey League, you know, 10 teams, and we come up with a couple of these things that, some of these ideas are, what do they say, ideas, some are stolen and made to be their own, but I don't know, we'll see what comes of that.
You mentioned that it was a sellout crowd on Saturday. Tell me, do you think 3,700, is that the most for a matinee on a Sunday?
It's right up there, yeah. You know, and we're right in the middle of, actually this afternoon, we sent our dates into the league office already for next year. And, you know, if I can have a Sunday opposed to a Thursday, I think I'd take it all day long. You know, we have some weekday games, but they usually fall between Christmas and New Year's or around a holiday the day before Thanksgiving, the day after kind of thing. But yeah, I just think that, you know, if we can get a 3 o'clock start on a Sunday, it's great. People can go do their church, their brunch, and get to see a great hockey game as well. So we put a bunch of those Sundays down away from football, of course. We earmarked the weekend between the Super Bowl. So we're very methodical about our scheduling, and obviously when you get a 3,700 people in there on a Sunday, it's great to see.
Well, you've got it's amazing how quickly we get to this stage of the season where you don't have that many guaranteed home games left that are on, you know, already scheduled, but you have a couple of huge nights. Tomorrow night, not only is it Valentine's, but it's also video game night, and then also another one that has become a fan favorite, Star Wars night.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, tomorrow night, obviously, it's the first time I believe we played on Valentine's night. Not that I can remember, but we're also doing a promotion, obviously, for Valentine's Day. It's a kids' seat for free tomorrow night. Anyone 12 and under with a paid adult silver level ticket gets to come in and basically get in for free. It was funny, yesterday afternoon, I felt it was really quiet in our offices, and I got up and walked around and half my staff was gone, and I was like, where is everybody? And they found a way to hook up PlayStation to the video board.
No.
Yeah. So they're out there just having the time of their lives, and I'm like, you know, what's going on? And she said, we're gonna do this between the at intermission. We're gonna let kids play, you know, PlayStation on the video board. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. So there's always something cool going on in our offices. But yeah, Valentine's Day, it's a great night, you know. Go out, have some dinner, come to the game. You know, and then the following night, obviously, Star Wars night's a big one for us as well. You know, we have about 12 to 15 characters roaming the Coliseum right when the doors open. And I'm always surprised by how many people just dress up like them as well. So it's, I think we've got like 9 home games left before the playoff run. And we're going to try to max the building out as much as we can down the stretch.
Well, and you and Coach Carr have said consistently and repeatedly that you and that's also been, I think, a motivator in terms of some of the moves that you've made in season. But taking the making the most of the home ice advantage in Knoxville, you have 2 games starting tomorrow night and then Saturday against the same opponent. It's who you won on the road against last week to open the weekend. How important is it against a team that you know you have the upper hand against going in?
Well, like I said, it's no big secret. You can take a look at the standings right now. You know, we're in third place. We're 41. You know, in 41 games, we're 22-15-4. But we other teams have some pretty, you know, good games in hand on us. So we have to make the most of every one of these. And you know, the plus side of that, and I always try to look at the positives, is that when these guys are grinding out those games down the stretch towards the end, you know, we're gonna have healthy bodies rested, and no matter which way we finish, we'll be healthy and ready to go into whatever playoff series we go up against. So that's the positive I pull from that.
Yeah, and it really is something to take a look at that. You've played 4 more games than anybody else in the league, and some teams you've played 6 more games than. And it comes down, you guys are nice guys because you allowed teams to move some games around when they had some scheduling difficulties on their home ice. But I can't remember seeing one team that has that kind of edge. And as you mentioned, it comes down to almost being a negative because you've had opportunities to win. Maybe you didn't. These other teams now have a chance to catch you if you've built a lead on them in the standings.
Right. So, I mean, like I said, you know, I know Jeff and I can look back on a number of games that, you know, should have had. And, you know, we dropped it in overtime or whatever it might be. But it is what it is at this point. You know, we can just control our own destiny and try to win as many games as we can to see where we who we line up against in the playoffs. Obviously, we want to finish in the top 4 so that we can have home ice advantage in round 1 and just see how it shakes out from there. But again, you know, we've still got like 6 guys still called up to the East Coast Hockey League, so it'll be interesting to see how they all fall back into place in our lineup when it comes to be that time. Because, you know, if the guys keep playing the way they are right now, yeah, it's going to be tough. But, you know, like I said, we just have to take care of our own business and make good on every game that we have the rest of the way.
And as you already talked about, you're not even through the home stretch of this season, and yet you've already got to do some of the legwork for next year, is putting down your date requests and things like that. But also, you guys have a fantastic fan base, season ticket holders, and you're getting ready. It's renewal season that's quickly approaching, correct?
Yeah, absolutely, and I appreciate you mentioning that. It's, you know, our membership that we call it. You know, it's kind of works like a gym membership where, you know, you got the same seats every game, you know, for as many years as you want to do it. We're just going to keep rolling it over. And as we keep going through these years, I was just talking to a potential corporate partnership today at lunch that he was looking to buy a box of 12 that's on the glass and wants to do it for his company. And I'm like, we only have three left. Like, there's only three to get. Wow. So, you know, it's nice to have that. Obviously, we have 5,000 seats in the building. We'd like to sell them out every single night. And obviously, we truly appreciate our members, our season ticket holders, and our corporate partners. They have a lot of those boxes, and they see the value in what we do for at least 30 games a season that they can bring their, you know, their best clients to, or they, you know, entertain their best employees for. And it's always nice to see. But I think this year, you know, just coming out of our meetings, I think we're going to target more businesses this year. You know, if you can get to the gatekeeper, get past the gatekeeper and get to the boss that wants to, you know, the doctor that wants to make sure his staff is happy working for him or whatever, and buy four season tickets and they have something to do on, you know, different weekends. I think that's kind of be our focus for the summertime, just to get more businesses involved in what we do and just keep packing that place every year. We, like I said, I signed a 5-year lease with the city. So we're not going anywhere anytime soon. And, you know, it's just up to us to keep growing our small business, if you will.
Well, that is fantastic. Congratulations on a huge weekend last week. Already a good start to this week. And good luck with video game night and Valentine's tomorrow night, as well as Star Wars night on Saturday. And what's the way folks can get tickets?
I think just to get tickets by just going to KnoxvilleIceBears.com or 525-7825. And, you know, we're not going to have any love for Roanoke this weekend, but you two make sure you take care of yours.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. And shout out to the folks in Sarnia. I hope they're doing well. Good luck to the Ice Bears, and just keep on keeping on.
Guys, thanks so much. Have a great weekend. We appreciate it.
All right. You as well. Thank you. And that's Slapshots with Mike Murray, president and GM of the Ice Bears. They've got it going, and no reason to do different.
No, their promotions are so epic, and they execute them well, unless the dogs don't want to move at the start. That was hilarious.
That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break and be back to close out hour number two of Sports Talk on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting.
A real woman could stop you from drinking.
It has to be a real big woman.
This is Sports Radio WNML.
We come back to say so long for hour number two of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson. Vince Ferrara pinch-hitting for Jimmy Hyams as the ride continues. You're just taking over. That's what it is.
Yeah, and there's more to come. So apologies in advance, or during, I guess.
What we do look forward to is being joined by Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com as we look ahead to the second half of today's edition of the program. Brent Hubbs, all of hour number three. Then we'll have part two of my conversation with Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello. We'll hear remarks from Kelly Harper as tonight the Lady Vols play at LSU. We'll have an Eric Kane practice report, all that and so much more. If you want to go ahead and get online with your question or comment for Brent Hubbs, 656-9900, 656-9900. That's how you join 99.1, The Sports Animal.